just a big dog hunt. Let the big dog hunt. Hello again, everybody. Joe Stazak with you following Flyers hockey. Heard right here on 97.5. The Fanatic. We're broadcasting live from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Big third period for the Fly guys tonight. Le Flyer beat the Hurricanes 4-1. Travis Konecny is seventh. Joel Farabee is second. Claude Giroux is fourth. Three goals in the third period enabled the Flyers to come away with a victory over the Carolina Hurricanes. Not a lot of action going on early in the game. Sean Couturier scored early in the game on a power play, and the Flyers did little to nothing until the third period. It was 1-1 going into the third period. Like I just mentioned, Carter Hart, 33 saves on 34 shots. One of the stars of the game tonight. So the Flyer, big win tonight down at the Wells Fargo Center. Once again, I'm Joe Stazak. Tyler Zuli behind the glass taking your calls at 610-632-0975. So you want to chime in on a hockey game, please do. I want to talk Eagles. What else? It's a big bye week. No reason we can't talk about them because I'm still miffed. I got to be honest. I'm miffed at the reaction of the fan base and analysts alike after that convincing win over the Bears, 22-14 the other day. Yeah, it got a little hairy. I get all that. They went to sleep for a little bit. For about 17 minutes in the second half, they went to sleep. Got a little crazy, got a little hairy. But, I mean, overall, they pushed the Bears all over the field, gave up 9 total yards in the first half. 9 total yards in the first half. First time a Philadelphia team has done that in 32 years. They scored 22 points on a team that was only giving up 17 points per game. They scored... They allowed 14 points on a team averaging 18 points per game. They ran the ball, at least to the backs, 31 times for 131 yards. The quarterback threw for a touchdown of 239 yards without turning the ball over. They consumed 8 minutes and 14 seconds on the last drive to run out the clock, basically for all intents and purposes, 16-play, 69-yard drive, ending in a Jake Elliott field goal with 25 seconds left. The ensuing kickoff, they got the turnover. They were a plus one on Sunday in the turnover race, and everyone complained about it afterwards. I saw the guys on CSN, and they came out basically, you know, they admitted they were nitpicking a little bit, but it wasn't a whole lot of positives I was hearing. And I wrote an article today. It's live. It's on 97.5thefanatic.com. I basically say we have to adjust our expectations around here, and I'm saying that to the fan base. Because as long as you still think this is a Super Bowl team, you're going to be miserable watching these games in and out each week. You're going to be miserable. You have to understand, it's an average team with marginal talent, and in some areas less than marginal. And from week to week, they could be up, they could be down, they could be getting their doors blown off like they did in Minnesota and Dallas, where they lost those two games, combined 45 points. Then they can go to Buffalo on the road, beat a 5-1 team soundly, come home, beat a very good Bears team that won 12 games last year, 26 points combined in the two wins for the Birds. So they're looking up right now. Things looking up for the Eagles going into the bye week. I just didn't get why everyone was criticizing them. It was like they got blown out. And I'm the one who gets criticized all the time for nitpicking. I get hammered for being the negative guy around here, for being the Russian judge, the most critical eye. And I'm saying that was a good win. That was a damn good win. People are upset because why? For 13 minutes, the outcome was a little bit in question. Cut a 19-point lead to 5. You're not going to hold even a Mitchell Trubisky-like led offense. You're not going to hold that in check for 60 minutes. You're also not going to hold the Bears to 9 yards in each half. And you scored 19 points early in the fourth quarter. You had 19 points. You finished with 22 on a team that gives up 17 points per game. I thought it was a nice job. Pretty well-rounded win by the Birds, despite going to sleep for a little bit. Yeah, I get all that. But I didn't get the criticism. So check out my article. I'm trying to kind of assuage your fears a little bit, because you're watching these games from a much different eye than I'm watching them at this point. I expect their ceiling to me is 10-6 and a division title. That's their ceiling. Maybe win a home game. Maybe lose a home game. Maybe win a home game and lose in the divisional round on the road. I don't know. I don't think this team is built to go that far in the playoffs. So that's how I watch them now. Yeah, these games were miserable early on because I'm thinking Super Bowl. I think we all were. I don't know how we... Who was the first guy who said that, and we all kind of jumped on. I thought they'd make a trip back to the Super Bowl. Boy, did I overestimate the talent on this roster. Same thing in Dallas. Dallas was getting killed in their papers this morning. They won a game 37-18 last night on the road. And I am going to compare the Eagles to Dallas at this point. That's what I want to do as they get set to lock horns on December 22nd, week 16. That would be game 15. Dallas comes in here to the link for maybe the whole shebang. I got to tell you, Dallas is a better team right now, and their talent is head and shoulders above the Eagles. When fully healthy, I'll put that roster up with almost any roster in the league, Dallas's. But they're rarely fully healthy. They don't have a lot of depth at some of those positions. If they lose one guy, let's say the wide receiving core like Amari Cooper, they're not the same. Obviously, if Dak goes down, they're not the same. I think Dak's a good quarterback. I don't think he's a great quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback. He wins. He's 37-19 as a Dallas Cowboy, two division titles and a playoff win. They're getting hammered because they started off poorly. Yeah, they came off a bye and were down 12-3 before you blinked. They had a punt early. They had a fumble. They gave up points. And they kind of got their act together. Prescott, you know, kind of stabilized everybody. Zeke had a big night. Zeke had his biggest game of the year, actually. 139 yards on 23 carries. But I don't know if any of you watched the game last night. I caught it a little late, and then I just watched them go up and down the field. And I watched New York implode, and Dallas did their thing. But I'm watching, you know, I got to be honest, I'm a little jealous. I'm watching Michael Gallup. He's not the number one receiver on that team. In fact, he's a third-round pick, getting a taste of the NFL for the first time. Big-time touchdown last night. We don't have guys like that. We don't have impact guys. How many times do I have to say it? Impact guys on this team, few and far between, especially from 2014. Hell, on defense, they have two impact guys, dating back to the 2012 draft and the 2010 draft, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Grant. That's it. That's it. Impact guys since 2014, I'll go Carson Wentz. I'll give you half a point for Dallas Goedert and half a point for Miles Sanders. They're not even technically starters, but they've made an impact. They've been okay picks. I'd like to see Miles Sanders do it more as a running back, but I'll take the chunk plays that he's given this team through the air. They don't have speed like that at the wideout position with Deshaun out. That's another thing that irks me to no end. He should have gotten the surgery when it first happened. Hell, I sat here and told you that. And what do I know? I sat here and said, get the surgery. It'll be healed completely by the time you're ready to play, which is already going to be like 8 games later, which is what you were basically out for. You missed 7, you come back for 1 series, played 4 snaps, and you're done. Now you're having the surgery, and you're done. And hey, kudos to Howie Roseman, huh? Really, really backing us up with a plan B there in terms of the vertical game. Did nothing. Didn't kick the tires on Josh Gordon. Why? You didn't know where to put him? You didn't think that maybe DJX might not be able to finish this year? He's hurt a lot anyway, and he decided to not have the surgery, and he's got a torn abdomen. What do you think? Think you could have gone out and maybe done your job? Bring a wide receiver in here. Bring some speed in here. You whiffed on Jadeveon Clowney big time because these defensive ends are still lacking. You didn't go out and get Jalen Ramsey, which I can get around a little bit. I get it with the draft picks because this team is getting old and frail before our eyes, and soon they're going to have to rebuild, or at least rebuild at the same time as they're reloading, and they need those draft picks. And then you're going to say, well, what good are they if they stink at drafting? Yeah, that's true, but you have to believe that you're going to be able to draft well each year, whether you do or you don't. Howie's going to need to hang on to some of those picks. So as much as I would have liked to see Jalen Ramsey here, I understand why he didn't do it, and I understand why he didn't make any other moves at the trade deadline. They need draft picks, guys. Can't be giving up round three picks for Golden Tate's again. Can't give up, you know, third-round picks for Rentals. For a guy who couldn't even be incorporated into the offense last year. He had one big drive against the Bears. Nick Foles hits him on fourth down with 52 seconds left. All right, that was fine. I'll give up that for a third-round pick. And he's gone. He's with the Giants, signed a big deal. He's playing well. But I would have really been hesitant on doing anything to give up some picks this time around. So I'm okay with what Howie didn't do this time around because I think he sees it. I see it. I don't know if the fans see it yet, but it's not a Super Bowl team. You can take a page out of Andy McPhail. You know, if we do, we do. If we don't, we don't. And that's kind of where the Eagles are right now. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. But compared to the Dallas Cowboys right now, the Birds are the inferior squad. They just are.
By how much?
Record-wise, well, they're half a game back, which we know. They blew the doors off head-to-head. I think they're... I don't think they're head and shoulders above. This is Tyler Zulu, ladies and gentlemen. I think they are a good step in front of the Eagles, however you want to quantify that. I think their roster's better. Their quarterback wins. They have one of the top running backs in the league. Their defensive line is for real. I'm surprised they're actually not a better team with that lineup for some reason. Maybe it's Jason Garrett. I don't know. He's not great off the bye. He's 5-5 off of byes, and he started out horribly last night. What do you think, Ty?
I would not disagree that they are better than the Eagles. And quite honestly, at the beginning of the season, I said, you know, in one hand, I said, I think the Eagles should win the Super Bowl this year. I think a lot of us did.
I did.
Because based on how, you know, and you do all that on paper, based on paper, they were a good football team.
Yeah.
But on the same side, on the different hand, I said, both of these teams should be playoff teams. And I don't know which one's going to win the division. I think the Eagles, on the surface, when the season started, were better set to go on the road and win a game as a wild card team than the Cowboys were. But that's not to say that the Cowboys aren't a divisional challenge, because clearly they are, and I think they were leading up to the season.
Coming into the year, I thought, hands down, the Birds had this division wrapped up.
Oh, I did not.
You did not?
No.
Okay.
I thought the Eagles could win a game on the road as a wild card team, but no, I didn't think it was a wrap.
Maybe a rap is too strong, but I thought that it was them and then everybody else, especially the Cowboys, were the number two team, and they'd have to be clawing and scratching and scraping to get to where the Eagles are. Now, it's reversed. The Eagles are going to have to do some scraping and clawing and grasping to get where the Cowboys are. They have to have a tiebreaker, because if they're down tiebreakers and they have to play them and beat them head straight up, so then they'd be tied and they lose the tiebreaker. They have to kind of take care of those tiebreakers before they get to that spot. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You can't leave this in the hands of having to win tiebreakers and win a divisional game.
Exactly,
yeah,
right.
I don't care that it's home. I don't care that it's going to be cold or the fans. It's too much to ask for. If this was 2017's team, there'd be no issue. Well, and then again, there would be no issue because they'd have run away with the division. But if this were 2017's team, I'd say, yes, that's fine. This team's not rock solid enough.
No, they're not, unfortunately.
To give me confidence that they'd win that game.
Too unstable. And right now, I'm looking at that game. I'm thinking, I'd lean towards the Cowboys at this point. What do you think? And it's a long way away. To win the division.
The only thing that gives me hope that the Eagles still can win the division is the fact that the Cowboys have played the Dolphins, and the Eagles still have yet to play the Dolphins. They also still have a game against the Giants, who...
Two games.
Stink.
Right.
I mean, it's fair to say they still stink. Another game against Washington, who stinks. And if they start Dwayne Haskins, they're worse than stink. I think the fact that the Eagles' schedule is favorable after these next two games,
much more favorable,
is the best thing they've got going for them.
I'm looking at the Cowboys. They got to host the Vikings, coming off that loss to the Chiefs. Very formidable squad. Kirk Cousins seems to have gotten his act together. Then they go into Detroit. Detroit's been competitive in every game. Beat the Eagles here. So that's not a gimme. Then they go to Foxborough. That should be fun. Then the Bills, who rebounded nicely from that thrashing by the Eagles, beating the Redskins 24-9 this past weekend. They travel to Dallas to play them there. And then Cowboys play the Bears in Chicago, that defense. Then the Rams come to town to play the Cowboys. I mean, then they play the Eagles. That schedule is nasty for the Cowboys.
Oh, it sure is. And that's the thing is, too, you look at it and you hope that with the Cowboys being the divisional winner last season, that those two extra games, having to play the two top teams in each division as opposed to the two second-place teams in each division,
big time.
Maybe that helps out.
I think it's going to
help. Then again, the Eagles lost to that opponent in the Atlanta Falcons, who, by the way, are also abysmal.
Abysmal. They're just going to look back on those losses, the Detroit loss and the Atlanta loss, and just kick themselves for losing those games. Those were very winnable games. They should have won those games down the stretch. Blame it on drops. Blame it on Carson. Whatever you want to do, they did not, as a team, come to play on those specific games, and it could cost them at the end. Although I think the season will come down to the 22nd. They have to take care of the tiebreaker stuff first, because if they're a game behind, then they could at least bring themselves to Dallas's level, and if they own the tiebreaker, then they just have to win out a game against the Giants, last game of the season. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I'd like to compare and contrast, because it's a two-team race. Two-team race for the division. And I like to scout the Cowboys, which I did last night. And I thought they were fine after a slow start. My thing was, the comparison is that no one was happy in this town and no one was happy in Big D this morning. And we're talking about an 8-point win here over a pretty decent defensive squad. And, you know, what was it, 37-19? So what's that, an 18-point win over the Giants on the road? I know that the Giants on the road, and they're getting hammered. I mean, what does anyone expect from these two teams? They're not Super Bowl teams. But if I had to pick one, I got to be honest. If I had to pick one team that I think is built to go further in the playoffs, it would be Dallas right now. I don't think the Eagles have the weapons. I don't think they have the weapons. I'm okay with their ground game. I love the fact that they've seen the light on Jordan Howard and they're feeding him the ball. Miles Sanders is a great 1-2 punch for whatever he's doing. He has speed, and this team lacks speed, but their wide receiving core is pathetic. Now DJax is out for the year, and their secondary situation is probably the same. Remember, they weren't tested. They played Mitch Trubisky, and even he hit them up for a Taylor Gabriel 53-yarder to get things going in the second half. Big play, big play, big play. Gave up another 30-yarder for the proximity touchdown. So I'm not sold on the defense, whereas I think Dallas has a pretty damn good defense. Malik Collins, DeMarcus Lawrence, Sean Lee, their linebackers, Leighton Vander Esch, Jalen Smith. I think Vander Esch was out last night with a neck injury. But I like Dallas's lineup. For some reason, they can't get to the next level. I'm not sure if that's the coach. I believe Jerry Jones, this is just me, I think he might have his eye on Lincoln Riley out of Oklahoma if he doesn't keep Jason Garrett. And I think if they maybe go to a playoff game and lose, I think they're going to make a change. I think he said, though, if we don't prove that we are a playoff team or a team that can advance in the playoffs, it's time to make a change. So Jason Garrett, again, coaching for his life right now, as he usually does this time of year. But
might be a college coach in that own state that they take a look at.
Who you got?
How about the head coach of the Baylor Bears, Matt Rhule?
How about Matt
Rhule? He's been fantastic.
Can you imagine if Matt Rhule got that gig? That'd be unbelievable.
You can't rule him out for any NFL job coming up in the next couple months.
He's done a phenomenal job.
Oh, he's been fantastic.
Fantastic.
I mean, he's taken a team that should have been on the precipice of death, and they're, running through teams.
Good point. That'd be unbelievable if Matt Rhule got the gig. I don't know. I think Lincoln Riley's the front runner. I don't know if he'd take a job at the NFL. I think he would. He was great with Baker Mayfield, turned a walk-on into a Heisman winner. Same thing with Kyler Murray. Jalen Hurts now looks like, you know, a Heisman winner, or you know, couldn't get on the field at Alabama. I just like what he's done. I mean, he lost to Kansas State and he's had some problems lately, but I think Jerry likes him is the point. I think Jerry likes him, and we'll see. But you can't overlook Matt Rhule. You have to certainly kick the tires on him if you're Jerry Jones, and he has no problem going after college quarterbacks. His last two college quarterbacks that he hired won Super Bowls for him, Jimmy Johnson, Barry Switzer. Of course, that was way back in the day. But, you know, we shall see. 610-632-0975. Let's go out to Mitch in Phoenix. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mitch?
How you doing, buddy?
How are you, man?
I went to the Suns game the other night.
Did you go?
I was there.
Nice.
And I kept a close eye on Ben Simmons.
Are you a Sixer fan or Phoenix fan?
I've been a Sixer fan for, I'm 60 years.
He had a rough game.
He sucks.
He doesn't suck.
I don't
suck.
Care what anybody
says. He doesn't
says.
Suck.
No. Yeah, he sucks. He's a liability.
A liability at what?
As a point guard, as a shooter.
Well, he struggles shooting.
As a guy you can depend on at the end of a game.
Well, he's not a shooter, so yeah, you would not have the ball in his hands at the end of the game, I wouldn't think. But
no,
I was fed the notion that he was going to shoot a lot more this year, and I haven't seen it.
Shoot a lot. As soon as he gets the ball in his hands, his first thing that comes to his brain is, I got to get rid of this to somebody else. And when you're 6'10 and you're short-arming layups, there's something wrong with that dude. And I don't like him as a player as far as a guard. I could think of 15 guards better than him.
Well, he does other things. He's not a shooter. You're not going to get... You're right. To have a point guard as a shooter, and they really don't have another good shooting guard. It's a team that really lacks that. Without J.J. Redick in the house, they have no perimeter action. I mean, maybe Josh Richardson, Tobias Harris, but they don't show up every night. So I think that's going to catch up with them. I really do. I think that's going to catch up with them. But I'm cool with Simmons. His career numbers, he's over 16 points a game, almost 8 assists per game, 8 rebounds per game. You know, he doesn't suck. He might have sucked the other night, but he doesn't do all the things a point guard should do, in your opinion. Am I correct with saying that?
Well, you and I have seen a lot of good guards, great guards, over the years. I've never seen a dude that receives the ball and doesn't want to shoot it.
Yeah, he doesn't. I mean, you're right. And, Mitch, I appreciate the phone call, man. He doesn't shoot the ball. He's right. Okay, what's going on with Mitch here? There we go. It's a weird situation because you have a point guard who doesn't shoot. And I also thought when they drafted Markelle Fultz, how unfortunate it was to draft two guards back-to-back years with the number one pick overall, and neither of them could shoot. Two guards back-to-back years, number one pick overall, neither could shoot. But I was told that Ben Simmons, we're going to see three-pointers out of him. We're going to see him run to the corner, not be hesitant to take the shot. He made one in preseason. Place went nuts. I thought that was embarrassing. I think he was embarrassed by it, but he was a good sport about it. Yeah, I might have been alone on this, but I thought it was embarrassing. I don't believe the fans tried to embarrass him. The fans were behind him. It was a supportive gesture. But, I mean, he's played ball all his life, and he makes his three-point shot, and everyone's like, you know, like he's never made a three-point shot before. Well, maybe he hasn't, but I mean, he can. I've seen him. I've seen some tapes. I've seen him at least in shoot-arounds and in practice. He can make three-pointers. Whether he does it in the game, that's a different story. But for him to make a three-pointer and a place went bananas, I felt for him a little bit. I really did. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Ty, what do you say about Ben Simmons? Oh, did I catch you at a bad time, bro?
Hey, sorry about that. I was just screening a call. No big deal.
Sorry.
No, here's the thing. Is what Mitch said at the onset correct?
That he sucks?
No. What he said on the onset was that he doesn't shoot. True.
Yeah,
correct.
He doesn't shoot.
Ben Simmons doesn't suck. Ben Simmons averages 16 points per game.
Eight assists,
eight rebounds.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
By the way, there is no way on this planet that there are 15 guards in the league that are better than
him.
Oh,
yeah. I didn't even think
that.
That
is absurd to think that. Because here's the thing. How many guards are truly better than him? True point guards. I might be able to give you five.
Okay.
Might. And one of them is sitting at home with a broken wrist.
I think he's just talking about from a prototypical point guard aspect, he doesn't shoot the ball, so he's not putting him into the category of being a normal point guard or a star point guard. But he does so many other things so well. You know, yes, it's his weak spot. He doesn't shoot. And I'm wondering why, and maybe, Tyler, you can tell me this. He was supposed to shoot this year. I thought it was common knowledge. Why is he not shooting the ball?
Listen, I don't know why he's not shooting the ball. My guess would be that the comfortability is still not there. I really don't care if he's not shooting, as long as the team is winning. I don't care how his shots come. I don't care how his playmaking comes. If the team is winning basketball games, as they have in, what, four of the first five games?
Yeah, 4-1.
No issue.
Or 5-1. Yeah, they went to, didn't they go to 5-1 when they beat Portland?
Is it 5-1 now?
They went to 5-0, I think, and then they lost to Phoenix.
So, even more. It hammers the point home even more.
Yeah.
You're going to win 80% of your games with a point guard who, quote-unquote, can't shoot, or quote-unquote, sucks?
Well, if that's the case, I certainly take that. But I think people are thinking that might catch up to them after a while. Jerry in Philly on 97.5 The Fennec. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How are you, man?
Yeah, I was going to say, Ben doesn't have the incentive to shoot anymore. I mean, when you got a guy that says that, I was going through the motions last year, but now that I got my contract, I feel better. I feel like I'm ready for the game again. He has no incentive to shoot anymore. Once you get that 170, it's all guaranteed. He doesn't need to shoot. That's the thing. And you're saying let him win games. As long as they win the game. They won games last year when he didn't shoot. And what happened in the playoffs? He's shooting up again.
He needs to shoot.
His point's invalid. But what I'm saying is that, you know, he has no incentive to shoot now. His heart isn't in the game as much as people think it is.
Why do you say that? Well, why are you making that assassination of him?
I'm because when he had an interview with Marcus Spears, I think a while ago, and he said before the season started, he said, you know, last year, this summer after I signed my contract, I really fell in love with the game again. That bothers me. That shows me that the incentive for him is just the money. He's okay with just being kind of average and just averaging 16-8-8, making the occasional All-Star game here and there, and not really progressing as a player and going to his highest peak. I don't think that he wants to be at his highest peak like a Joel Embiid does, a Tobias Harris in them. I don't think that he has that dog in him.
I'd like to see that quote. Are you sure he wasn't joking around when he said it like that?
No, he was pretty serious.
Because I didn't hear it, so I can't really comment on it. Go ahead.
It was before the season. He was with the ESPN reporter. I think it was Marcus Spears or it was another NBA reporter, but he said that, and I was like, why isn't nobody talking about this? Either guys aren't talking about this because they don't want to not get interviews with him, but that really should bother or tell someone that a guy that falls in love out the game last year, all of a sudden he gets his contract and he falls back in love. I think as a teammate, you probably look at him sideways and say, like, so what were you doing last year? You were kind of just half going at it. Like, that would bother me as a teammate.
Well, listen, Jerry, I didn't hear the quote. I think if he did say that, to be honest, I think it would have been talked about. And he would have gotten hammered over that. So I'm not sure. Again, I'm not saying you're lying. It didn't happen. I just think that maybe it was taken out of context a little bit. Maybe he was joking a little bit. Maybe it wasn't quite the way you heard it. I don't know. So I can't really comment on it specifically because I didn't see it. I mean, if he says something like that, I think it would have been a much bigger deal, much bigger deal. And I don't think he's that way anyway. I think he loves to play the game of basketball. He's shown me nothing that would make me think towards the contrary, that Ben Simmons doesn't love to play basketball. But I do think he's going to need to shoot. That will catch up with them after a while. He does need to incorporate more to his game. The 15-footer. The backup jumper. The fadeaway. I don't really care if he's out shooting three-pointers. I would never expect him to do that or to do it successfully in games. But, hey, if you want to add that to your repertoire, hey, knock yourself out. But I think he needs to add another element to his game. And I'm surprised that after all the talk and even, you know, he talked about it and released all those videos this summer of him shooting three-pointers and making three-pointers, that he's going to shy away from it again. I just don't get it. 610-632-0975. Joe Stazak on the other side. We're going to be talking more Eagles and Cowboys. Tyler Zuli with me until midnight tonight, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
So damn proud.
All right, welcome back to the show. Joe Stasek in the house with my man Tyler Zuli behind the glass, taking your call 610-632-0975. Here till midnight tonight, coming off a big Flyers win, heard right here on 97.5, The Fanatic, Joel Farabee, Claude Giroux, Travis Konecny, all tally goals in the third period. Carter Hart, 33 saves. Le Flyer win tonight over the Hurricanes, 4-1. Now, a caller just called in a few minutes ago and said that he soured on Ben Simmons when he heard this interview a month or two ago. He said he heard Ben Simmons say, since I signed the new contract, which he signed this past offseason, he fell in love with the game again. Well, my crack producer, Tyler Zuli, in all his infinite wisdom, found the soundbite. And because I said there's no way that happened. I don't believe for a second he said that, and it did not get talked about. I said, you know, and due respect to the caller, that he must have heard it wrong or it was taken out of context or Ben Simmons was kidding. But here is that soundbite. He was with our Rob Motti about a month and a half ago, and here's the soundbite.
Like, this summer I fell in love with the game again. So kind of got back to who I was and having fun with the game. I felt like past season I kind of lost that enjoyment side of it. But I feel like this summer has been huge for me. Just the work I've been putting in, I kind of fell in love with that working again, and I've been in the gym every day working, and the results have been paying off, so I'm excited for the season. So I'm comfortable, I'm ready to play, I'm ready to be who I am as a player, continue to develop, keep working. It's a process, it takes time. Obviously, people always want to see results straight away, but that's not how things work.
Sounds like you got a second gig at a construction site. Good job, Ben Simmons.
It was actually a generator.
Was that what it
was? That's what it was,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, all right. Sounded like he was on, you know, there was a jackhammer behind him, and he's pulling a concrete Charlie, you know, working in the offseason, needs some cash. So if you could hear that, I heard nothing of the sort that he mentioned the contract and followed by is the reason I fell in love with the game again. He talked about last season, maybe not so much, but the work he put in this offseason and just coming into the year fresh, coming off that tough loss to Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors. That's what I think he was implying, that he's ready to go. He's fresh. He liked working on his game. He feels good about his game. His outside shooting looks a lot better, at least on tape. I've seen tapes, and I know you can put together five highlights out of 300 shots, but he looked good doing it. I saw him consistently hit half-court shots, three-pointers right before half-court with a friend of his, one of his trainers he was taking shots with. So he can dial it up. But I just don't know if you're going to see it in the game. In fact, I sat here with that D-line. I mean, she's talked about she thinks he's going to hit 15 three-pointers this year. I said, he's not going to take 15 three-point shots. She goes, oh, yeah, he will. He will. He's going to sink a lot of balls. I believe her. I'm still going to believe her because she knows what she's talking about, and I want to see it, and I thought I was going to see it, and I haven't seen it yet, but it's early in the season. He did not do much last night, 2 for 8. For 6 points. He does not suck, as one caller from Phoenix called in and exclaimed. 16.3 points per game over his career, 8 assists, 8 rebounds per game. Those are nice numbers for a point guard. Yes, he's not the perfect point guard. Those are nice numbers for a point guard. Sixers 5-1 on the year now. The 2-game suspension by Joel Embiid is done. They went 1-1. And there's a situation. I think if Embiid plays, they beat Phoenix. Of course, I think if Ben Simmons brought his A game as well, they beat Phoenix. But just something to keep your eye on down the road. I know it's early. They might need that game. Just like the Eagles. Look back. Could have used that Atlanta game. Could have used that Detroit game. Who'd they beat so far handily? Well, they beat the Skins second half. Came out big. DeSean Jackson with the 53-yarder, the 51-yarder. Beat the Jets. Smoked the Jets. Beat the Bills. Beat the Bears. Beat the Packers. All right, Bears, Bills, Packers. Okay, they're not patsies. They're not patsies by any stretch. Packers coming off of a debacle in L.A. this past weekend. Did you hear Aaron Rodgers afterwards? Did it very tastefully and very much with class and graciousness, but he basically called out his team. He said, yeah, we have to kind of, I'm paraphrasing, but he said something like, we have to kind of figure out what we want to do and how we go through our routine, especially in the last 48 hours. To me, that sounds like the boys were out partying. They weren't focused on their jobs. There's the L.A. factor. There's the Miami factor. Those are two cities you can get into some trouble in. Guys aren't there that often. They fly into Miami, especially in baseball. You'll notice game three, after winning game two, a road team has game three, the getaway game, and they usually stink up the place. That's because they went out and celebrated after game two. Now they're all hungover. But it sounded to me like, and he did it the right way, he didn't mention names, but it was a message to his team, to his general manager, to his owner, to the fans, that we have to kind of reevaluate what we're doing here, because they were on a roll, 7-1, and the Chargers just dismantled them. And it looked like they were out the night before. Looked like they all missed bed check. But that was a big win over the Pack. Those were basically, the Eagles won three games this year that were must wins. So when they really need to come up big, they have come up big this year. And you could say they should have come up big in Dallas. I mean, what's the excuse for laying down against the boys on national TV with the division on the line, coming off a whacking in Minnesota? But they went into the Packers 1-2, needed to win there, or they go down 1-3. And you know the percentages of teams that make the playoffs when you start the season 1-3. It's not good. Okay, then they get whacked twice, and they're 3-4. They go into Buffalo on the road against a 5-1 team, albeit maybe not a very good 5-1 team, but a 5-1 team on the road. They smack them around. Then they come home to play a team gasping for air because they're 3-4. They don't have a quarterback, but they have a very good defense, a top-5 defense, and they basically push them all over the field. So that's why I say this is an average football team. We watched what they've done in some circumstances. Didn't show up for the Detroit game and couldn't finish it out. Lost by 3. Lost to Atlanta, who turned out to be a dreadful team. Couldn't finish that game up. You can blame it on Nelson Aguilar, but Carson Wentz did have the ball there, and he could have moved the chains when they were down to the 18-yard line, and they stalled. Got thwacked in Minnesota and got thumped in Dallas. Big time, too. Those were big-time losses. The team looked like they were in complete disarray. Then the whole Orlando Scandrick stuff breaks, and they've held together well. I'll give Doug Peterson a lot of credit for that. A lot of credit for that. He's going to be here for a while, folks. He's not going anywhere. He's earned himself, you know, a pretty pretty nice-sized leash.
Well, and Joe, the question is, too, you kept bringing up a common theme in that little soliloquy there. Why do we have to wait for this team to have their backs up against the wall?
That's a good question.
For them to play big-time football and meaningful football?
That's an excellent question.
Because it's driving me crazy.
Because if they did play that and brought that every week, they wouldn't be in the spot they're in. You're right. You're right. They wait till they have the foot on their throats, and that's when they come up and play their best football, when they absolutely need to play their best football or get eliminated. Because I think if they lost that game to the Bears, instead of being 5-4, they're 4-5 heading into a game with New England, coming off a bye, coming off a loss to the Ravens. They got thumped too. You know, they're not going to be real happy about that. Then you got to play Seattle with probably the MVP front runner in Russell Wilson. But they held on, won the game, and here we are. They got two tough games left. Which game? Do you see them winning one of these two games, Tyler? Or are you taking a call? So I'll get to you a little later, bro. All right, he's working the phone line. 610-632-0975. I would not be shocked if they beat the Patriots. I talked to Rob Motti about this on the air the other night. I was rooting for the Patriots to lose. He was rooting for the Patriots to win because he didn't want them coming off a loss and being surly about it and having Belichick be all over them for 2 weeks and then having to deal with the brunt of that when they come in here in 2 weeks. My thing was that oftentimes when teams are on a roll and they reel off a ton of games, like 8, 9, 10 games, and they lose their first game, people think automatically they're going to rebound from that and come out with a big performance the next week. Well, oftentimes, in fact, more often than not, the team loses a second game. They get thumped again. In New England, there's precedent for that. First of all, the Eagles did it to them in 2015. They had won 10 in a row. Then they lose to the Broncos. A bad Eagles team goes up to Foxborough, scores 3 non-offensive touchdowns, and beats Brady and the Pats in Foxborough. Last year, Pats lost 5 games in the regular season. 4 of them were back-to-back losses. There's precedent. So I if they win against the Patriots, I'd be impressed. I don't know if I'd be all that shocked. New England has a good defense, have a very good secondary, so our wide receivers aren't going to be able to do much. But other than that, they don't have one thing they do like they're great at. Not one thing they do that they're great at. Yes, they have Brady. They have a nice system. He's the coach out there. He knows the system up and down. They have Julian Edelman. They have Philip Dorsett. Ben Watson. It doesn't matter who Brady has. He's going to find a way to get them the football and be successful, have a nice running game. James White's a nice compliment to Sony Michel. But they're exposable. Run the ball right up the gut against them. And if the Eagles can run the ball and establish that run, because you're not going to be able to throw much on the Patriots, they can do that again like they've been doing, I think they have a shot. Because you still have Carson Wentz back there slinging it. Still have Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert. A very slow Alshon Jeffrey. And who knows, maybe we'll see something from Nelson Aguilar for once. He's been basically non-existent most of the season, and when we have seen him, he's dropping balls in Atlanta. He's not going up for 50-50 balls last week, looking awkward doing it. Kind of short-arming a ball in Dallas late in the game. On a post route from Carson Wentz when probably he could have laid out for one. So I don't know what's going on with Nelson Aguilar, but hopefully maybe he can come up big for once, because other guys have to elevate their game with Deshaun now out for the year. They have no speed. If I was them, I'd find a way to get Miles Sanders involved in the passing game. Get him involved in the passing game. He's already been uber successful at that so far this year. He's got speed. He makes splash plays. Chunk, 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 chunk. You get him in the open field, he's a hard guy to bring down. Saw what happened when they went with the two-back set. Howard blocks down, and Sanders runs off tackle left. Went for 65 yards against the Bills. Couldn't chase him. Couldn't track him down. This team needs speed, and they sorely lack team speed on offense. Sorely lack. Team speed on offense. They used to have Darren Sproles, Shady McCoy, DeSean Jackson when he was younger and healthier. They don't have speed on offense. Zach Ertz, but everyone knows he's going to be getting the ball. I'm surprised he actually had such a breakout game with 9 catches, 103 yards the other day, because everyone knows it's coming to him. Who else is it going to go to? Alshon had 3 drops. Made a big catch on the third down play on that last drive, but had 3 drops. Didn't have to be that close down the end if he makes one of those 2 catches earlier in the game. We'll talk more Eagles football, and we'll compare them and contrast them to the Dallas Cowboys going forward. If you watch Dallas the last night, they go to 5-3 with a big win, an 18-point win over the Giants on the road. Birds are 5-4 heading into the bye week, and then they take on Hoodie and Tom Brady at the Link in about a week and a half. I'm Joe Stazek. He's Tyler Zulu behind the glass, taking your call, 610-632-0975. We're coming right back.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to the show. Joe Stazeg in the house. We're broadcasting live from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Tyler Zuli behind the glass, taking your call, 610-632-0975. We talked a little bit about Ben Simmons tonight already, and I mentioned the Flyers, their big win over the Hurricanes tonight, 4-1 down at the Well. But we're talking Eagles football. We're comparing and contrasting them to the Cowboys going forward. I don't know if you saw the game last night. You got your scouting glasses on. What did you see out of the Cowboys? How do you think they stack up against the Eagles? I'm looking at the Eagles schedule going forward. It's a lot easier than the Cowboys schedule, I got to tell you. Next two games are not easy. They could go 0-2 in these next two games. Thus, going 2-4 in that six-game stretch, which is under average. If they're an average team, I'm looking at 3-3. But it's a tough schedule. You got to go play the world champs now. I don't care what they came off of, a loss, a win, doesn't matter. Their thing is excellence every week. And Brady's still slinging it at 42. I mean, they run the ball a lot more now. In fact, their offense is like 22nd in the league. But their defense is now lights out. Now, that's going to hurt them average-wise, giving up 30 points. They gave up 37, but 7 was a defensive touchdown by the Ravens. They were giving up 5.6 points per game. The defense was. As a team, they were giving up a little over 7, but the actual defense, 5.6 points per game through 8 games. No team in the history since the merger of 1970 has done that through 8 games. Held teams under 6 points. Now, a lot of them were patsies. I get all that. They play in the AFC East, which is terrible. Yeah, even the Bills aren't that good. They beat the Bills. Beat the Jets a couple times, the Dolphins. I mean, those are tank wins just about. I mean, Cincinnati's tanking, but Miami's tanking, and the Jets aren't trying to tank, but they're a tanking team because they look like they're tanking with the way they play. But not going to be easy for the Birds, but going to be a little tougher for those Cowboys. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Aaron on a cellular on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, how are you, Joe?
How you doing, man?
I'm good. First of all, before we get started, I'm going to put out there, listen, I am a New York football Giants fan.
Okay.
In New York. But I analyze the NFC East, the whole division.
Sure.
With that being said, the reason why your team is struggling is because guess what? 2 years ago, you won that Super Bowl. Okay? Nobody saw that coming. You're in a rebuild mode. But you won the Super Bowl, but that sort of kind of stopped your whole process. Because when you look at it, the core of your team, you do have a couple good starters, but you have no depth beyond that.
Right.
Yeah, you're preaching
to the choir. No, I agree. I think they're in without – it's not an overt rebuild mold, but they need to be rebuilding right now.
Okay. And so, like, before this season started, I'm listening to all these sportscasters talking about, oh, yeah, Philly was going to run away with the division. And I didn't see it because when you think about it, I hate to say it, but Dallas has the most talent in the division.
Agreed.
I thought your strength, I thought you had the better coaching. That's what I thought. Okay.
So what
the Redskins are just the Redskins, and my team is rebuilding.
Yep.
But whenever I tell this to the Philly fans, they get all upset because they feel as though, oh, I'm disrespecting your team and taking away from your championship, but I'm really not.
No, I don't think it's disrespect at all. I know what you're saying. Look, they thought there was still a window. You have to always be regenerating your football team when you win a championship. It's what the Phillies didn't do. They hung on to that team and hung on to that team, and then all of a sudden they got old and they hadn't won another championship.
You think of this. Go back 2 years prior to the season starting. You talk about strengths of your team and weaknesses. Your secondary was an issue. And look, you're right back to square one with it.
Yep.
Okay. I take nothing away from Malcolm Jenkins. He's a good player, but guess what? He got mileage on him now, right?
Yeah.
And so, once again, it's like that Super Bowl has it just stopped your process. And then on top of it, I think the psyche of your team, your team is not the team to be the front runners. You don't thrive being in that driver's
seat. You're right about that. They do not. And I appreciate the call, Aaron. I got to run. That's a good point. They don't thrive as front runners. That's the whole idea behind the dog masks back in 2017 and what Tyler just pointed out.
Yeah, it goes back to our conversation we just had. Why do we have to wait for this? Backs against the wall. No one believes in us.
That's how they play.
No one likes us.
That's
we don't
exactly
care.
Right. Yep.
I care.
I care.
Because my sanity's on the line and your sanity's on the line.
That's what I said. That's why the whole article is about adjusting your expectations. You won't be miserable. You know, if you just have your expectations on a division title, a taste of the playoff, taste of the postseason, a game here, maybe another game there, but they're not built to make a run. They just don't have the talent, unfortunately. Jim in Havertown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jim?
Joe, just enjoying the show.
Thanks, buddy.
I agree with almost everything tonight. Joe, you're not even close to my age, right, bro? What are you, in your 40s, brother?
Yeah, a little higher than that. My birthday's on Saturday. I'll be 43.
That's cool. I understand, bro. I'm 58. I don't like that number.
You sound good, though, bro. You sound good.
It's way too close to 60, though.
Yeah,
bro.
I know.
I don't think I'll be admitting in the bars that I'm 60. I'll stick with 58 for a while.
Attaboy. Attaboy.
What was I going to say, brother? I agree with the last caller. I enjoy watching our division back in the day, too, when it was strong. But it's weak this year.
Weak. Yeah.
Yeah.
It used to be a power. The NFC East was a power division.
Wasn't it great when we were a power division and we were the freaking team that beat in that power division?
Absolutely. Yeah, those were the days, man. Now it's just Dallas and the Eagles. New York's rebuilding and Washington is like in forever purgatory.
Yeah, no doubt. Mm. Did he say he was a Washington fan, your last caller, brother?
No, he was a Giants fan.
Oh, Giants, yeah. He's in a little bit of trouble, too. I don't know how good Danny Dimes is going to be. You know, it's all about the quarterback, man.
It's all about the quarterback.
We all know that.
I think he's going to be good. I really do. I think he's going to be good. He started out on fire. He dropped back. What's that, bud?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
No, I was going to say he started out on fire. He dropped back a little bit, but I think he's going to be good. I do.
Cool. Where's he out of, brother? Wisconsin or something?
No, he went to Duke.
Oh, Duke, okay.
Yeah, a lot of people.
A real powerhouse for quarterback.
Yeah, right?
I'd say a point guard from Duke any day, but I don't know about a quarterback.
That's why Dave Gettleman, the GM, got so highly criticized because he took him with a 6th pick overall and no one else was thinking about him.
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah. I don't know what's his name, Joe, anymore. Devotee of ESPN anymore. But I still watch it a little bit. I do love, I don't know if you watch, you like Highly Questionable, brother, by any chance?
I watch Highly Questionable, sure. I like Pardon the Interruption.
Is the father too funny, though, on Highly Questionable?
He is funny. He's funny. Yeah, they put together a decent show.
Well, let's hope for more glory days coming soon. And let's hope this Scandrick, whatever this bum's name was, wasn't right about us still being like too happy about winning a Super Bowl 2 years ago. Let's see some hunger in this team. Although, I was talking to Tyler, I can't imagine Jim, my buddy Schwartz, who doesn't blitz enough for me ever, coming out with a plan to beat Russell. But let's hope they're fired up and they can beat Russell.
Russell's going to be a nightmare, Jimmy. He's going to be a nightmare. We'll see what Jimmy.
Hopefully, get by the pass. I seen a stat with that brother where they lose after a loss and then after a bye. I guess it's happened to them a couple of times. They've come back and lost. I think it was twice.
Yeah, that's
they
my point.
They come back off a bye and lost after a loss.
Yeah, I thought it was better. I was rooting for them to lose the other night.
Yeah.
Because
so
of
hopefully that'll work out.
Let's hope so, Jimmy. Jimmy, I appreciate it, man. I got to run.
All right, Joe. Take care.
Good talking to you, pal. Jimmy from Havertown, always a good call. Hey, we got to take a break. 1 hour down, one more to go. We'll get into a little bit more of what the Eagles have in store and the Cowboys, what they have in store as both teams are on a collision course. December 22nd, week 16, game 15 of the National Football League schedule. And we'll get into that a little bit more. I also want to get into some of my article. And I kind of have a 3-point plan of how the Birds should kind of finish out this season and we'll hear what you think about it. 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stazak. Coming right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.